Brother Felix Crowder's voice in that song. I hear Brother Jimmy Rutherford in that song. I hear Brother George O'Neill in that song. I hear Pastor John Grant in that song. Amen. And if you weren't there, you missed it. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Glory to God. I'm going to start with this morning's lesson. We'll just read one short verse, and then you can be seated. But unto them which are called, 1 Corinthians 1:24, unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your presence, for your goodness, for your mercy, none of which we, without which we could experience what we're experiencing here today. And I'm grateful for it, Lord. I'm grateful for the body of Christ. I'm grateful for your word. And I ask you, God, to have your way in our midst today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. You may be seated. I want to read the context of that verse. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. I want to read 1 Corinthians 1:22 through 29. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. We're the Greeks, by the way, unless you're of Jewish heritage. Gentiles, basically. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Ever have anyone tell you that being a Christian was foolish? But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Does it feel good being called the foolish things? And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. We're beginning a new series called Choosing Wisdom. And this morning's title is Wisdom's Worth. Wisdom's Worth. We're comparing the wisdom of God to the wisdom of this world. Amen. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen. I find it interesting that this spiritual application, this element of wisdom that we apply in more of a mental capacity, promises health to our flesh and strength to our bones. Amen. Godly wisdom, the truth that we're trying to convey this morning is godly wisdom is the most valuable asset we could ever obtain. Another song with Brother Crowder's voice is Acres of Diamonds. He used to sing that one all the time. Praise God. Godly wisdom is the most valuable asset we could ever attain. Amen. In this series, Choosing Wisdom will lead us on a trip through the highlighted portions of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. We'll look at wisdom's worth, wisdom's works, the truth that wisdom waits, and then hearing wisdom's warning. The scripture passages we'll study will help us better understand the importance of choosing wisdom. Wisdom is not elusive or impossible to attain. I want to repeat that. Wisdom is not elusive or impossible to attain. It might be a little elusive for most of us, but it is not impossible because God has promised it to us. If we will seek wisdom by seeking the God who gives wisdom, we will gain what we need to please the Lord and walk in his commandments. A lot of verses here to begin with. James 1, 5, and 6 says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Amen. God promises to give us wisdom liberally. The problem is we think that the verse says immediately, and that it doesn't always work that way. In Babylon's capital that day, there were crescendos of horns and flutes and harps and lyres. That's not L-I-A-R-S, that's L-Y-R-E-S, by the way. Well, there was probably liars, L-I-A-R-S, there too. I got my dose of coffee this morning. People from every station in life had come to the streets in the center of the city. They all fell down before the massive gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Mishael glanced over at Hananiah, who looked over at Azariah. They towered over the rows and rows of magistrates and commoners that had bowed down and folded flat before the idol. The only one standing, any thought of humor disappeared at the sound of a new commotion. The staff members began rushing to the side of the king, hissing their accusations and gesturing at the three Hebrews. The emotion of it all, that feeling of all those eyes lasered in on him, reminded Hananiah of another moment in his past. At that time, he was in a room filled with fellow captives and a menu full of foreign food. Earthly wisdom whispered to him, just eat the food like everyone else. Do what these overlords say and don't rock the boat. Ever have that feeling? Don't rock the boat. Why endanger yourself for the teachings and ways of a now destroyed kingdom? This is the voice he heard. But Daniel was there and he had a different idea. He argued that wisdom belonged to God and that his ways were best. And of course, Daniel was right. Following the ways of God resulted in an inexplicable favor for those Hebrew children that day. And it changed the course of Babylon and Israel's history. And so the symphony crescendoed again, and Hananiah followed Mishael and Azariah to the furnace. Because they refused to bow, they were going to be thrown into the fire. And pushing past the inner voice of tempting doubts, they stood alone for a moment. Although the Babylonians had a reputation for wisdom, these three faithful Hebrew men did not let their current circumstances deter them from following the wisdom and will of God. In so doing, they walked in the fire, and through the fire, they walked with the living source of all wisdom. Amen. They soon found they were not alone. The king looked in and saw a fourth man in the fire, and they were delivered by the angel of the Lord. Babylon was a great empire, and Nebuchadnezzar was a great and powerful king. He brought in a new era of architectural activity. He ordered a complete reconstruction of the imperial grounds, including a giant ziggurat and construction of the Ishtar Gate. Many of you know that Ishtar is an idol, the most prominent of eight gates around the city of Babylon. As a matter of fact, the name Babylon comes from a word that meant gate of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar is also credited with the construction of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, remembered as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But he had also destroyed Solomon's temple and exiled the Jews to Babylon. So this great king required them to bow down, and they refused. And God delivered them from the fire because they obeyed God's word and relied on his wisdom. We've all encountered know-it-alls in our lives. Don't raise your hands or point any fingers. We all know some powerful and dominant personalities. And maybe sometimes others have even thought of us in this way, especially when we discuss a topic about which we're quite knowledgeable. Again, don't raise your hand. But knowledge does not always equal wisdom. One man said it this way: knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing to not put tomatoes in your fruit salad. We need to acknowledge that we do not know it all. We need humility to obtain wisdom. In 1 Kings 3, Solomon was confronted with great opportunity, but he also had to humble himself. In 1 Kings 3, 5, it says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?'" Sometimes we wish it would work this way, that God would just come to us and ask us for whatever we wanted. And we get up and begin our prayers, and we get out the magic bottle. We rub it. And we wait for the genie. No genie. Doesn't work that way. It's in God's time, in God's will. He came to Solomon and said, ask whatever you want. But when the Lord promised to give Solomon whatever he asked, the young king did not ask for honor or riches or long life. He recognized the daunting task ahead of him, so he asked for wisdom. Some treat the Lord like a genie in a bottle, but Solomon knew better. Rather than setting himself above the people, he set his pedigree and his power aside and embraced humility to be the leader that he knew God and the people needed him to be. Of course, we know that Solomon did not always follow the ways of wisdom. As an older man, he needed the humility that he had once possessed as a young man in order to continue walking in all the wisdom God had given him, which is a challenge. It isn't a one-time thing. It's a lifetime pursuit. Proverbs 3 contains some of the most often quoted verses on pursuing God, the source of all wisdom. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We read this passage earlier. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. These verses challenge us to override our human inclination to trust in ourselves. While God has granted us the ability to approach situations logically, I believe that we ought to be rational in the way we do things, and we ought to be logical. Faith is not an excuse for being irrational, by the way. We should use the gifts that God has given us, but we must have the humility to avoid leaning completely on our own understanding. Proverbs 3:7 warns us not to be wise in our own eyes. The book of Romans says not to be wise in our own conceits or in our own opinions. How many people here have an opinion? Come on, raise your hand. Everybody's got an opinion. What's your favorite color? That you have an opinion on that? I don't have a favorite color. That's still an opinion. We all have opinions, but that doesn't mean that we're all right all the time. Our perspective may not always be the correct one. We may not have all the information. We might not know everything we think we know. And even if we think we're right, we should still humble ourselves and seek the Lord. We must have the humility to pray for a God's eye view of every situation. The wise person will double check. As the carpenters say, measure once, cut twice. Measure twice, cut once. Following the wisdom of the Lord leads to great rewards. We have health when we humble ourselves and follow the will and wisdom of God. And that isn't just talking about physical health. There's spiritual health. We've lost a great lady, a great member of our family. My wife's family has lost an elder, their father. But you know what? There's a healthy response to that. And we as children of God have been given wisdom to deal with losses in life. There's a health that comes emotionally and spiritually along with the promises of physical health. Amen? Amen. God increases us, giving us all we need and more. Proverbs 3:10 speaks of new wine, literally bursting forth from our presses. This is talking about increase in life, but there's a spiritual application. When we follow the wisdom of God's Holy Spirit, we see personal spiritual revival. We say revival, we always think about increasing the number of people in the church, but revival is really a personal thing. It's a spiritual thing that takes place inside of us. We need to be revived. Amen? God will bless us spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially if we humble ourselves and apply the wisdom of God's word. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. Hebrews 12:11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. See, that's part of the wisdom of God, is that we have to submit to his correction. Amen. Anybody here like correction? Don't raise your hand. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. It's one thing to humble ourselves to be wise, but it's another to accept the chastening of the Lord and admit when we have done wrong. When we face these situations, we should be thankful for the discipline. Everybody say discipline. Did any of you shudder when you said that? The discipline of the Lord, because it reveals his love for us. According to the same chapter, Hebrews 12, he chastens those he loves, the scripture says. But remember, it takes discipline to be a disciple. In this me-first, individualistic world, it's difficult sometimes to embrace humility and accept the discipline required to be a disciple. We want to fit in with the rest of the world. We don't want to be the oddball at work. We don't want to stand for things that others are against. But nonetheless, in order to be a disciple, we must be disciplined. I changed the wording on this a little bit. Today, many people are discussing which pronouns they prefer. But if we're honest, we would discover that humanity's preferred pronouns are me, myself, and I. We must recognize the selfish and self-centered view that we all often have. There's nothing wrong with self-care or pursuing godly goals. Pastors talked about that. We need to have goals in life, but we must humble ourselves to advance in the right way. Humility respects the sovereignty of God and helps us recognize God's timing, and our own timing may often differ. We must all embrace humility to stay faithful to the will and the wisdom of God. Praise God. But there is a reward. Following God's wise plan for our lives will ultimately lead to reward. And sometimes, like I said, we want the genie in the bottle effect. We want the immediate feedback, but the reward sometimes is down the road somewhere. And we may not even be able to see it when we're obeying God's word. We should not behave wisely just for the sake of reward, but God desires to give us good things. That's a concept that a lot of the world doesn't have where God is concerned, that God wants to do good things. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. He desires to do good things. He wants to give us the desires of our heart, the Bible says. But sometimes the desires of our heart are different than the desires of our flesh. Praise God. I'm going to poke myself in the eye yet. Let us learn the wisdom, learn the lesson that wisdom has its own reward. Those who follow the path of the wise will have a greater chance of leading happier, healthier lives. I think we talked about that too, about if we have false expectations, then we'll never be happy. Such rewards are natural byproducts of wisdom. Wisdom does not always lead to great riches because God may choose to bless us in other ways. But poor decisions often do lead to poverty. Proverbs 21:20 says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." The way we say it today is, a fool and his money are soon parted. Whether or not we have money, we should make a firm commitment to never part from wisdom. We must be wary of focusing too much on the gifts that come from wisdom. We know Solomon's wives turned his heart away from God. Evidently, he forgot some of his own proverbs and started focusing on his wealth and physical things. Wisdom also has the benefit of bringing peace. Jesus said, peace which passes all understanding. Solomon's very name comes from the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. David likely chose this name for his son out of a strong desire to put his days of war and fighting behind him and give his son a kingdom where he could maintain peace. All of wisdom's paths are paths that lead to peace. We must be wise enough to recognize when we have deviated into unnecessary conflicts. We don't need to pick fights that we don't need to have. The word shalom also can mean wholeness. Solomon did not live up to his own name or the plans that his father had for him. Jesus talked about wisdom this way. In Luke 7:31, it says, the Lord said, to what then shall I liken the men of this generation? What are they like? And I think it applies to our generation as well. They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not weep. You're supposed to go along with the crowd. You're supposed to do what everyone else is doing. You're supposed to believe what everyone else is believing. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. And the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus sums it up in one line, but wisdom is justified by all her children. See, wisdom's fruit is borne out after time. Not always in the moment. Something to remember in our instant opinion, popular response-oriented world. It's amazing how we can be actually beat down by something on a computer screen that somebody has put on there 1,000 miles away. During our lives, we find ourselves perhaps on many wild goose chases, pursuing things that are not of God. Brother Grant used to teach it this way. We can do the wrong thing in the wrong way, and that's going to have a bad result. We can do the wrong thing in the right way, and God can help us find the right thing. Wrong, 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 right. And we can do the right thing in the wrong way, which doesn't lead to a good end. It means we're trying to do the right thing, but we have the wrong attitude. We have the wrong approach. We try and do righteousness out of our own strength, out of our own will. We try and get along with everybody by accepting their mindset instead of applying the word of God. The right thing in the wrong way. Or we can do the right thing in the right way. And God can prosper that. That's wisdom. Obedience to God's word. We should pursue wisdom because it leads to many wonderful rewards. We have a wise God who is more concerned about meeting our needs than giving us gifts that might lead us astray from his own plan. We often thank the Lord for all the blessings he gives us, but perhaps we should also thank him for unanswered prayers. Prayers that we prayed that God wisely did not grant because he knows what we truly need. Even Paul, when he was praying for healing, 3 times he approached God and he was used to getting an answer. So he asked God, "Why? What's the deal here?" And God said, it's not my will. It's not good for you that I would heal you. Many things in life appear wise or logical. However, Proverbs 3:21 speaks of sound wisdom. In a world where almost anyone will offer advice or counsel, we have to be careful to follow the right kind of wisdom. Worldly wisdom has some benefits, but worldly wisdom alone will not lead to the ultimate success that God has for us. Of course, in this life, but certainly when it comes to eternal life. Essentially, sound wisdom is wisdom so effective that it leads to success. And we can apply that in the short term in the world, but the greatest success is being in God's will and spending eternity with Him. Godly wisdom may yield different definitions of success than what the world does. The earliest mention of success in Scripture is found in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua found success in battle when he conquered the land of Canaan because he meditated on the word of the Lord. If we're looking for a self-help book or a volume on wisdom, it's in our Bible. Amen. In the New Testament, we discover true wisdom can only be found through the life and teachings of Jesus. Some people will even admit that Jesus is a wise philosopher, but we know he is more than that. Jesus provided many wise sayings, but he led a life that defied logic and worldly wisdom. Many people found the message of Jesus to be counterintuitive. He talked about saving your life by losing it. He talked about winning the ultimate battle for your soul through loss. His words made little sense to many people, and some people left him because of his hard sayings. Even the apostles had difficulty at times understanding his message. In John 6, when he talked about sacrifice and giving yourself, the Bible says that many people left him, many of the disciples left him. And Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, "Are you going to leave me also?" And Peter answered, he said, "Where else would we go? Who else has the words of eternal life?" Praise God. There's no better place to go but to Jesus. We must stay at the feet of Jesus to glean from his teachings. The Apostle Paul also spoke of great reversals required to achieve wisdom. Paul said, "Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise." And of course, he's saying, don't rely on worldly wisdom. Paul spoke of the humility required to achieve wisdom. As a learned man in Scripture, he realized he had acted like a fool when he pursued Christians and put them to death. He had lacked wisdom that could only come from an encounter with the God of all wisdom. His life was forever changed when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Praise God. I don't know if there's anyone here today who has not had their Damascus road experience, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is in this place. And whatever trial you may be facing or whatever success you may be living in, he is still the answer for eternal life. Amen. Paul ended 1 Corinthians 1 by reminding us of the strong connection between wisdom and humility. He warned us that no flesh, no human nature should glory in the presence of God. Instead, we should be humble. This humility leads to us being made wise through Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul said, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Christ is the beginning of a better life here and life eternal forever. The better life begins with wisdom. Jesus said it this way, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" Praise God. I feel the Holy Spirit here right now, calling us to a deeper relationship with him. You know, we do believe in the new birth. We do believe in baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And if you've never had that experience, that doesn't mean that we don't think that you've never known God or never had an experience with him. But what we are saying is that that is the door to more of God. That is the beginning of eternal life in Jesus Christ. So if you're here or you're online and you're seeing and hearing this, I'm here to tell you that there's always more in Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus is calling us to deepen our relationship with him. Such a relationship goes beyond him merely being our Savior. Jesus has not only saved us and redeemed us, but he's ready to advise us as our wise counselor. How many lives have been changed? How many homes have been reconstructed? How many careers have been revived by the word of God at work in someone's life? Walking with Jesus Christ will make us wiser than we could ever hope to be on our own. A strong relationship with Jesus will help us grow in wisdom. Amen. The man stood at the bus stop on a cold, snowy northern morning. We know what that's like. He felt the desperation of making a difficult decision. His own human nature told him he should take the offer that was on the table, that he should get out of his current situation and go on to something better. But the wisdom of the Holy Spirit told him to wait. The new job offer came from a godly pastor, someone the man and his wife trusted. And if the couple made a pros and cons list, they could easily tilt the scales in favor of leaving. But James wrote, "Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The couple wanted nothing more than to extricate themselves from their current situation. Time had run its course. They had served faithfully. And now they had the opportunity to serve somewhere else. Sometimes that happens. When our hearts desperately desire something that's reasonable and logical, but God says no. That moment helped the man more clearly understand the difference between human wisdom and godly wisdom. While he and his wife could make a strong case for leaving and pursuing the new opportunity, the wisdom of the Holy Ghost told him to wait. Just as the Spirit had prevented Paul and his companions from doing the work of God in preaching in Asia, the Lord was preventing this couple from doing something, not because it was not a promising situation, but because the will and wisdom of God told them to wait. Soon the wisdom of God would lead him and his wife into a new and fruitful direction. And along their journey, they would meet another couple who faced the same obstacles because they found themselves out of the will and timing and wisdom of God. That's when this man would remember the freezing, gloomy day at the bus stop. And he would be thankful that he had chosen godly wisdom over human logic and desires while deepening his relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. One last passage. Why don't we stand? I know this is a lesson, but I still feel the Holy Ghost ministering here. He's talking to some people in this place. Let's lift our hands for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. James 3:13-18 says this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Good conduct, meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Bitter envy and self-seeking. It seems to be a lot of that in our world today. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible says. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Praise God. Anytime we're in a trying situation, this is a good place to go. Just read this passage. and decide, am I bitter towards this person? Then maybe I'm not acting out of wisdom. Am I trying to do selfish things here? Then I'm not acting out of wisdom. Is there peace in what I'm doing? If so, then perhaps there's wisdom. Praise God. I want to just give you a moment to come and pray. Let's look for Jesus, to Jesus, for the wisdom we need. Let's live with faith and courage in the wisdom that God provides. I want to just open the altar. We don't normally do that, but if you want to come and pray, come and pray. If you need to go pick up your children, please go do that. And just for a few moments, we're going to greet each other and love one another. But let's take a moment and pray. Find time to pray before we go, in Jesus' name. If you'd bow your head. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the presence of God that we feel in this place. Thank you for the ministry of your Spirit, which is always with us, and you will never leave us or forsake us. There are life challenges and life decisions that are represented in this place beyond what I can even begin to imagine. But you know every need. You know every heart. You know every situation, God. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, for you to move in our hearts and minds that we all might know that you know who we are and know where we are, and that you are willing to guide and direct us if we will submit to you and pursue your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Just take a moment and pray, or if you want to fellowship, then take a moment. If you don't mind going in the vestibule and doing that, greet one another, love on one another, pick up your children. We'll begin again in about 15 minutes. God bless you.